We're going to talk about the court's charge today, and mainly in preservation of error, because that's what we appellate lawyers do. The truth of the matter is, at the end of the program, I've got some film clips of a made-up charge conference, and we have sort of a made-up fact statement that I think is fairly realistic, and I hope all the film clips work. If they don't, you're going to be just listening to me. Let me tell you, I'm going to brag a little bit on the paper, and it's because I didn't write it. Tom Wright did. This is an extremely good paper. It is as good a paper on the court's charge as I have seen. It rivals Karen Priscilla's paper on the same subject that was delivered several years ago at this course, and that is high praise. Tom also did what I like to see done in CLE articles. He has an extensive table of contents and also lists the cases so you can get to things very quickly. The problem with our court's charge in Texas is essentially this. The rules are spread over 8 different rules in the 270 series. You've got to read all of them together to make sense of it, and I hope that we have put things together. I did contribute a little bit to the paper where it's easier to get through those rules. Justice Heck's Rules Committee has attempted in years past to amend these rules, but trial judges have been very resistant to that because they want to make sure that the issues that will eventually be going up on appeal are run by them, and of course that makes some sense. But I do think these rules can be simplified because they're traps that we all know we fall into. The general preservation rule is this. It is Payne. You know this case from years ago. There only is one test for determining whether the party is preserved error, and that is whether you make the trial judge aware and you obtain a ruling.